Well, good Monday morning, dear friends. Good to be with you. Welcome to Good Morning Live. It is our prayer and our hope that you have a good morning. Why? Because every morning with Jesus is always a good morning. How has your weekend been? Were you a weekend DIY warrior? Did you get into some projects? Did you, go shopping, or did you just hang around the house and keep it cool? We this weekend got a lot of projects done at the house and getting the pool ready to open and all kind of fun, exciting stuff. And of course, we had a wonderful service yesterday at Hope City Church. Barb Fisher delivered an amazing word, and God was all over the place. So we had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. Good to be with you this morning. And so we're looking forward to a great week here on Good Morning. We're going to dive into a different topic this week. I do want to give you a little bit of a pre-forewarning is that today's program will be a little bit shorter because we have our food pantry that happens today. And we have our trailer that they use to get food for the food pantry filled with Easter eggs. So we got to end this a little bit early today so we can get up there and get all those eggs out of that trailer so that we can feed people and bless people, because that's what we like to do. So I'm going to not prolong this very long. I'm going to jump into the word. So last week we dealt with this aspect of the need for approval, the need to give our approval, and where we fall in the midst of that. And I would say it's a little bit more intense, if you will, week of teaching in, it dived a little bit deeper into the soul. And I kind of tried to theme this through the teaching last week, is that you can't force fruit. Is that all of our efforts apart from Christ are void, right? Like you can't, you can try behavior modification. You can try to, you know, force something to happen. But the reality is all real heart and life change comes as a result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so I wanted to talk a little bit this week about grace. And grace is, hey, good morning, Tanisha. Good morning, Sharon. Good to see you. And grace is work in our life. And what that means or looks like for us. So I want to look at that this week, because I never want us to come off of a strong teaching, you know, where we got to do some deep soul searching. And again, as I said last week, I don't think that teaching last week is a once and done. I think that's something we got to keep coming back to. But I think we get more victory when we learn to rely on grace. So I want to talk to you a little bit this week about the grace of God and what that is and how it empowers us to have life change, not because of rules and stipulations, but life change because grace is not a doctrine. Grace is a person. Right? And his name is Jesus. So many believers, I think, live under pressure, trying to earn, if you will, what Jesus already died and paid for to give us. So I want to start off today by kind of building this foundation of the gospel of grace, because the gospel of grace is that unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor that is not based on our works, but entirely on Jesus's finished work on the cross. Now, I want you to see this with me, because this is really, even though I'm pivoting here and we're going to talk about grace this week, this is really a continuation of our whole teaching on breaking the addiction for approval. Why? Because not only do we do this in our natural everyday lives, relationally, person to person, but we often do this when it comes to our relationship with God and our faith is that, you know, we sin or we mess up and now we think that God's angry and he's mad at us. And, you know, he's just standing over us ready to kind of beat us over the head when we fail or when we fall or there's a mistake that was made. And so what do? We move into works. We move into trying to be better and act better and do better and think better and all this stuff in an effort to try to gain God's approval. But grace, here's the thing about grace. Grace just took a grenade and threw it right into man's attempts of approval and said, listen, you can never earn what was already given to you at the cross. Like, it's already paid for and done and provided. It was the finished work. And here's the thing about it, is all that we receive from God was already provided for us long before we ever came on this people planet, right? So if it was provided before I ever even showed up, it's like, that's what grace is, that grenade that just says, listen, I pre-planned this thing before you ever even got here. So your futile efforts to earn it or deserve it, that's why the Bible says he loved us before we could even know him. He loved us before we could love him. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. Like, he loved us before we could even choose him. So that's what grace is. Grace throws a grenade into the addiction for approval. It says, you think you're going to do something to earn this? Watch. I'll set it up so that you're not even a part of the discussion on receiving grace. We know just by definition, we've taught this before, but that grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It's God giving us what we do not deserve. What is grace? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Kindness instead of judgment. Favor instead of a life of pain and torment. Healing when we don't deserve it. Forgiveness when we don't deserve it. Justification when there's no evidence of our justification, right? So the grace message will people who struggle still in this approval addiction mentality will struggle with the grace message because it goes against the grain of everything internally that they're wired to think. Well, obviously I have to do something. Obviously, you know, it can't be that good or it can't be that true. And guess what? It is, right? So grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Let me read this to you from Ephesians 2:8. Good morning, Haley. Good to see you. Thanks for hopping on. And here's what it says. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Listen, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So how did we get salvation? Because God gave it to us even when we didn't deserve it. By grace, we have been saved through faith, not by our own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. What is he saying? It's a gift. You didn't work for it. You simply receive it. Salvation, righteousness, healing, peace, all flows from grace. And this, people, when we get this, it changes everything. Why? Because religion makes people strive for what grace freely gives. Religion. You know, here's the thing about religion. Religion feels good. Now, if you've been free for a while, you probably would disagree with that. But when you've been in such a system of earning people's approval, when you've been indoctrinated, if you will, into trying to earn the favor of God. And you've been raised in environments that say you do right or else, and that's how you're wired. Religion feels right and it makes sense. Good morning, Denise. Good to see you. Religion will come in and religion will say you want the favor of God. You want to be righteous. You want healing. You want peace in your life. Then you better work and do whatever it is that you can do to earn it, because that's the only way you're going to get it. And if you do anything that displeases God, be careful, because you will be cut off. And that's like, all right. Yeah, that makes sense to me. That fits up here. It's how I'm wired. It's, you know, it makes sense with my experience with people and humanity, that if I want something, I have to earn it. So religion, why it can be appealing, because it makes sense up here. It makes people strive to earn the favor and to be on God's good graces. And, you know, God, you know, I've been going to church and I've been giving and I've been helping the poor. Therefore, I'm in good standing with God. The cross puts us in good standing with God. Yeah, Cheryl says, grace is God's part. His gift, faith is our part. We receive, they work together. Absolutely. We receive grace by faith. And here's the thing. Faith is just that, like Cheryl just said, it's that receiving. They work together. Faith isn't, you know, faith has works, because when you believe something, you're going to walk that out. But faith in its own isn't a work. Faith is just an expectation of receiving. It's standing with arms wide open saying, well, we freely receive it. It's been freely given, so therefore we freely receive it. Now, works plays into this, and we'll dive into this a little bit later on, in the aspect of, because I believe it, because I receive it, I'm now going to walk that journey out with my works, my actions, and my deeds, because it's what I believe by faith that I've received from God. But I didn't get it from works. So religion will make people strive for what only grace freely gives. When you get this, man, this will set you free. It'll cause you to kind of exhale in your faith journey. Like, I can't force fruit. I can't change God's love for me. I can't change that he decided to go to the cross, because religion will say, well, you know what? Here's what you did. A, B, C, you know, you were a failure. You're a liar. You're a cheater. Therefore, you know, God is against you. And the moment you fail and you sin and you fall and you come short of that, you're just done. And grace says, look behind you, goodness and mercy are following you. Grace says, where does our redemption come from? Lift up your eyes, for your redemption is drawing near, right? Grace says, I don't care where you've been or what you've done or what you've walked through, the blood of Jesus still applies. And when you receive that gift of forgiveness, all of your sin is thrown into that sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. It's like somebody writing you, come on, $1 million check. And instead of cashing it, you just keep working overtime trying to earn more, like trying to just, you know. And that's why I say, listen, religion makes sense on the surface. Why? Because the grace of God, it doesn't compute. It doesn't compute that he just loves us that much, that he just made a way before I could do anything to earn it. It just sometimes has a hard time moving us out of that drive for approval and just say, you mean he really is that generous? No, it's like that. There has to be, what are the strings? There has to be strings attached to this thing. But Grace steps in and says, no strings attached. I'm just really that good. Listen to John 1:14, and it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. Here's what I want you to see. Grace is not a thing. Grace is Jesus in action. Wherever Jesus went, grace showed up. To the sinner, he was grace. To the sick, he was grace. To the shamed, he was grace. For those caught in a trap of approval addiction, he showed up as grace. Why? Because grace restores, grace heals, grace frees, grace forgives, grace extends approval without requiring, here's the thing, without requiring payment first. Without requiring payment first. Everything in our society says, well, you pay first. You pay and then you get the goods. And grace says, I will give you the goods because I believe that the goods will cause you to function and live differently. And our actions and deeds will follow that. So again, this is a challenge to us sometimes because it's not the way we're wired to think. Like think of in I think it's John 8, the woman who was caught in adultery. Like if you look at the law, like the men who were there to stone her and to persecute her, they weren't wrong. They weren't wrong. Why? Because the letter of the law says this woman deserved punishment. She deserved to be stoned. That was the law that God gave to Moses. Like they added all kind of stuff to the original 10, but you know, she was committing adultery. And this is what she deserved. But Jesus, full of grace, did not come to give her what she deserved, but to extend to her what she could not earn and did not deserve. And Jesus responded in grace to her and said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." Listen, and grace doesn't excuse sin, right? Jesus didn't look at the woman, you know, caught in adultery and said, "Hey, here's my grace. Now just go live it up. Do whatever it is you want to do." No, he looked at her and said, "I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more." Watch that. He offered an extended grace. And Jesus was confident enough to realize that her freedom from the law would be enough to bring life change, like the revelation of that. Like I was there, I was ready to be stoned. I was ready to be killed. I was ready to receive the punishment for what I had done because it's what I deserved. But then grace showed up on the scene because Jesus showed up on the scene and said, "Neither do I condemn you." And the reality of that freedom and the reality of that gift caused her to be able to follow Jesus's next words. "Now go and sin no more." So let's just get this in perspective. Grace doesn't excuse sin. It empowers us to leave it behind. It empowers us to leave it behind. Why? Because grace breaks the back of the need for approval. It breaks the back of that addictive behavior of trying to earn. Because why? We've talked about this, but the drive for approval will always leave us working in the arm of the flesh. It will always leave us trying to make happen in our own self what we can't make happen. But grace steps in and does for us what we could never do. It empowers us to leave sin behind. It empowers us to have life change. Listen to Romans 11:6, and it says this: "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace." I love that. Or otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Here's what it's saying: you can't mix grace and works. One will cancel out the other. This is why it's so important to go back and listen to what we talked about last week, because that drive for approval will always push us into our own human efforts to do whatever it is that we can do to get God to like us, to get God to fight for us, to get God to be on our side. But when we understand grace, grace says, listen, he was on your side before you even knew his name, right? He was on your side before you could even choose him. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, because he went to the cross before you were ever even on this planet. He made a way before you ever even got here, so that you would have a way of escape out of sin, out of destruction, out of abusive cycles, out of wrong mentalities, out of addiction, out of approval, out of whatever it is that you're struggling with. He already made a way through the cross for you and I to walk free from that long before we ever even showed up on this planet. So what is that scripture saying? It's saying that, listen, he set this up before you could even put one work into action. So what do you think you're going to do now? Do a work that's equal to the cross? No. So what is he saying? Just get comfortable in receiving. Just get comfortable in recognizing that all of this is done and provided because of the cross. Don't fall into the trap of works. Why? Because works will cancel out grace. One cancels the other. Like, let me just read it again, Romans 11. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Listen, under works, we try to be holy and earn God's love. But under grace, you know that you're loved, and that produces holiness. Like, I know, you know, in every relationship you go through, you know, different seasons sometimes, but when you love your spouse, you don't have to, you know, stay faithful because, well, you see that certificate on the wall? Nope, that means you better, because there's a certificate on the wall that says you're married. You better be nice. You better stay faithful. No, it's not. I don't need a certificate to tell me to be faithful and to be kind and to love my wife. Why? Because love automatically produces those things. Do you understand? So when we try to produce relationship with God without the love factor, what are we doing? We're trying to put a bunch of rules and regulations and laws on people to try to get them to look like they're in a loving relationship with Jesus, but that will always fall short. Why? Because all of those things that happen, you know, following Jesus and obeying his word and, you know, laying sin down and coming out of darkness and walking in light and, you know, setting those sins aside that so easily beset us, it all happens not because words on a page, not because, well, so this is what somebody told me that I should do, so it's what I better do. No, it comes out of a revelation of his love towards us, that, man, he loves me so much. And then out of that revelation spurs this love towards him. And now I don't, you know, now it's like, it's, I trust him. So now when he says, listen, lay that sin down. Hey, listen, go over here. Hey, fast this week or give in your tithes and your whatever it is. It's not done out of law and obligation and begrudgingly. It's done out of, man, I love him. Man, I trust him. You don't got to convince me of the love of God. I know it. I've got it. I walk in it. I see it. I feel it. And out of the result of that, I love him. And now I'm not striving to try to please a God who's, you know, standing over me angrily, ready to come and rain fire and brimstone on me. No, now I'm in a love, intimate relationship with the creator of the universe, with whom I trust with all of my heart that I'm willing to lay down every piece of my identity, every piece of my plan, every piece of my efforts to follow him to wherever he leads. Why? Because I absolutely, wholeheartedly trust him. Why? Because He first loved me. And now I'm not striving to earn the affection of my Savior. It's an auto-produced thing out of a love relationship. So a person trying to live holy, to be accepted by God, is like someone cleaning up before taking a shower. Come on. Grace is the shower that cleanses you. Grace is come as you are, and the water does the work. Do you see what I'm saying? The water, the grace, is the cleaning agent. Grace is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Grace is what empowers us to make life change. So where have you still been struggling to bring change into your life, or to be a better person, or you know, lay down the addictions, or walk free from a habit, or be kinder to people? Like, listen, I remember getting taking a job offer that was going to put me, in a hard city, you know, in the center city, and it would be hard. And I remember thinking, God, I don't know that I have the grace for this. And I remember clear as day, I remember him speaking to me and said, the love of God is always supernatural. And I knew that he was saying, listen, just as you rely on me for faith, just as you rely on me for everything else, you can rely on me for the love of God. And what I learned is through that experience is that I don't have to try to produce love for people, to be kinder to people, to be nicer to people, to care about people. Because, well, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, and therefore you better do it. You better do it, because if you don't do it, no. When I rely on Jesus and I follow Jesus and I love Jesus and I spend time with Jesus and I commune with Jesus, what happens to me is suddenly the love that Jesus has for other people. Like, you know, you may, how do I word it? Grow to love things that you never loved before just because your spouse loves something, right? Like, let me give you an example. I have always been a country music fan, love country music. And I remember Sarah and I were dating and I sent her a country music love song. And I was on the phone with her when she had gotten it through text message. And the first note was played and it was twang. And she stopped and said, nope, try again. I'm like, what? And she goes, I don't do country. Fast forward. All right. Now 11 years of marriage. And if the Sirius XM is on anything but prime country, now this is 80s, 90s country music, she's having a fit because that's what we listen to, 80s, 90s. And I often laugh because here she is singing along and we go to country music concerts. It's, you know, if it's not on that station in the car, she gets upset. Where it's like, going back, you hated country music, right? Now it's like, she won't listen to anything else, but every once in a while, she'll put on some 90s music. But anyway, so as a result of just us doing life together, right? She learned to love what I love, and it wasn't forced. It wasn't pushed on her. It was just out of a result of a love relationship with me. She got around what I liked, and suddenly it began to rub off on her, right? Yeah, yesterday she got that Dolly Parton themed Mother's Day yesterday. I got her some pretty cool gifts, but I laughed when I took my kids into the store. And Judy, one of the things was actually a framed Dolly Parton picture that has her like printed signature on it. And Judy gasped, and I don't know why, probably because it's all pink, you know. And Judy went, Mom would love this. And Judy doesn't even know who Dolly Parton is, but I think it was just because it was pink and had butterflies on it. And so one by one, they all picked up this stuff, and I just chuckled and I thought, and here we are 11 years later, and she's getting a Dolly Parton Mother's Day, right? But my point is, out of just relationship with me, she grew to love what I love. And that's what I'm trying to say here, is that you don't have to work and strive to love people. When you are in a love relationship with God, you're eventually going to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Why? Because that's just an outward working of relationship. And that's what I'm saying. And that's what grace does. Grace is the empowerment to change, not through the law, not through works, not through a 12-step program of trying to be a better you. And, you know, no. It just comes as a result of loving Jesus. Now I don't have to strive to love people. Now I can see broken people and, you know, people who are mean to me and angry, and I can pray for those who persecute me and do good to those who revile against me, not just because it's what the Bible says that we should do, but because I see those people through the lens of my relationship with Jesus. I see those people as people that Jesus loves and people that Jesus died for, that people that Jesus went to the cross for. And because I love him and I know he loves them, I'm automatically going to move in grace and compassion and kindness. Do you see what I'm saying? So now, you know, I can look at sin and say, yeah, you know, it's fun on this side of it. But now I look at sin as that thing that God looks at and says, you know, it's going to hurt you in the long run. Trust me that I want what's best for you. And now I lay sin down and walk away from it, not because get it out of your life, not because of this is what the word says. No, I do it because I trust him with me, because that's what grace proved in my life. Grace proved that he only wants what is good for me. Tanisha, when you catch the heartbeat of God, he changes your heart. He is the vine, we are the branches, 100%. We allow the Holy Spirit in, he does the pruning, so we produce the fruit his desires. 100%, Tanisha. And that's what I'm saying is, as we are coming off the back of the self-evaluation of trying to strive for people's approval, and let's not put that also in the same aspect of our relationship with God. This book is, yes, it is a rule book in some ways, right? But it's also God's love letter to us. It outlines how our lives should look, yes. And we should be working, you know, to make our lives fit this. But if it's outside of a relationship with Jesus, then it's just words on a page and it's become nothing more than a rule book. We do things for our kids and our spouses and people in our lives that we love, not because, well, you know, we have to, but because we love them. Like, I don't need somebody to, you know, send me a rule book that, hey, make sure your kids eat every day. Make sure your kids take a bath. Make sure you keep your house, you know, clean so your kids can live in a healthy, clean environment. Like, I'm sure there is a rule book out there somewhere on that. But nobody has to tell me to do those things. I automatically do them because I look at my kids and I want them to be healthy. And I'm like, you know, are they eating enough? Like, you know, Loretta is a pretty picky eater. And I'm like, I don't like that she's skinny as she is. And so, you know, we ordered her the chocolate milk with the extra vitamins in it to make sure that, you know, at least she's getting those. Like, nobody had to send me a manual to do that. It's out of my love for my daughter. It's an automatic thing that kicks in that says, I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll spend whatever after I spend. I'll change whatever I have to change to make sure that all my kids are healthy and eating and prospering and having the best life possible in front of them that I can provide. And it's not done because I got a pamphlet when they were born. It's done out of love. Out of my heart is I don't know that I could do anything else. Like, if you told me, you know, just starve your kids and don't feed them, I don't know physically that I could do that. Like, the thought of that would bring you to tears, right? Like, I couldn't do that. I would give my life to make sure there was food in front of my kids to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it wasn't produced out of a book. It was produced out of a relationship with Jesus. And that's what grace produces in our lives. It throws that grenade into works and says, you can't earn this. You can't work this. Why? Because he's saying, if you could, then your relationship with God would be religious and would be about doing this to get that. When Jesus threw that grenade and says, I made preparation long before you could ever even choose it. Therefore, it is just the act of receiving through faith. We receive salvation through grace. So I want us to lean into this a little bit this week and look at how we can receive God's grace every day as this practical way of bringing life change, as we're doing deep dives into some of the cycles that we've been in our lives. Let us marry all of that with this message of grace that says true life change happens, not because we force it, but just as Tanisha says, because he is the vine and we are the branches. And as long as we stay attached to the root, we're going to be okay. And we're going to produce. And it's going to work out. And it's going to happen. Just hang in. Just hold on. It's going to be all right. So stop trying to earn God's approval. You already have it. Let go of guilt and condemnation. God forgives and empowers. Change your confession today. If I leave you with anything today, change your confession. Stop saying things like, this is just who I am and, God's mad at me. No. Start change saying that through grace, through God's love, through God's favor, I can do anything. Why? Because he loves me. He's going to set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we receive all that you have for us, not by works, and we're so grateful for that, Father. But we receive it through faith, but we receive it by grace, which means you give us what we do not deserve. Help us today change that mentality, that we don't stand as beggars at the table of our Father, begging for food, begging for acceptance, begging for a place to sit, but we are welcomed with open arms to the table of our Father, approved, highly favored, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. And let us not believe anything else, because that's what grace is, and that's what grace has provided. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being on with me today. I know we cut a little bit short today. But that's, as I told you when we started, we got to go move some Easter eggs so that we can empty our trailers and get some food to help people today. So thanks for being on. I will see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Thanks. Be blessed and go with God.